Welcome to the Alpha Female Podcast. I'm Robin Pino, formerly known as Baldwin, an essential oil educator, blogger, author, yoga teacher, MS thriver, and newly twin mama. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a show that will inspire you to embrace living like an alpha female. We'll guide you to create more work-life harmony for yourself, discover tips and tricks to achieve your goals and dreams, all while taking the best care of yourself. Now, on with the show. This show is brought to you by doTERRA Essential Oils. As an essential oil educator, I partnered with doTERRA in 2016 to diversify my income with them. I was drawn to the oils a few years before when I was diagnosed with MS and gifted an introductory kit with lemon, peppermint, and lavender essential oil. At the time, as I was learning to live with MS, I knew I needed to get better quality and quantity of sleep. So I started using lavender in my Epsom salt baths every night to signal to my body that it was time to go to sleep, and the rest is history. I educated myself on the potency, purity, testing, and sourcing practices and discovered the company's heart of gold. So I'd like to do the same for you. I send out samples to anyone who has not yet tried doTERRA oils and you don't yet have a shopping account with them. So find me on Instagram. My new Instagram handle is at Robin Pino, and that's P-I-N-E-A-U-L-T. Send me a DM saying I'd love to try some oils, and then let me know one health pain point you're trying to solve. Send me your shipping address from there, and then I'll pop a care package in the mail for you. You're listening to the Alpha Female Podcast, episode 180. All links and show notes can be found over at robinbaldwin.com/podcast. So today on the show, we have a quick episode with moi. I thought I would run through just a quick story around my, our, in terms of, you know, referencing my husband, our infertility to fertility journey, and just give you a little bit of perspective on why I've been inspired to do a fertility series as I start up the podcast again in 2021. So I alluded to the fact that we had gone through an infertility journey in the first episode back and said I would share a little bit more. So today, how I want to make this useful for you is give you a little bit of backstory in terms of, you know, when we started trying, when we started getting testing, what we discovered, and then some resources. I'm going to share separately around how we conceived via IUI at a fertility clinic and the resources that I used to help that be successful, because I've been getting lots of questions. So I'm trying to preposition this that as I get questions around our fertility, pregnancy, twin parent journey, I'm hoping to make these podcasts useful with a bit of backstory. It's nice to, you know, go back and then listen back to these episodes later. So it's kind of like my personal blog, but I want to make these useful as well for you. So, we've always wanted children. My husband and I, when we actually met, chatted about wanting kids. So it was something that was both in our value system, and we definitely wanted to start a family together. So we're very traditional too, and we wanted to do it in the order that so many people used to do it in. No one really does the order. Many people do not choose to do it in this order, but we were both brought up in very traditional families. So you get married and then you start having kids. So we started trying to conceive during our honeymoon. And it was funny because I knew I wasn't ovulating at the time of our honeymoon. But I was like, oh, well, maybe we'll have a fluke and we'll get pregnant. I don't know why I thought that. Like, I've been so naive about this journey. So you have heard me talk about monitoring cycles on this podcast and planning and doing things based on where you're at in your monthly cycle, you know, so honoring the fact that you might have more energy around the time that you ovulate, whether it's actually synced up to a moon cycle or not. And, you know, taking time to really like close up projects in the back half of your cycle, and then, really taking time to rest if you experience a monthly bleed or period. So I've been talking about that on the show, but the reason why I started talking about it is because I was learning about it because of our fertility journey. But I didn't know anything about it before we started trying. And I alluded to it in the last episode, not alluded to, like I fully fessed up. I had no idea that you'd only get pregnant during a certain like few days a month. Like mind-boggling, embarrassing that like a 30-something had no idea. So we started trying on our honeymoon and nothing. We kept trying month after month after month. And I did everything. So it started, I was inspired to start tracking my cycle with, I think it's the Elisa Vitti's app. Let me just Google it quickly while I'm talking to you. So I downloaded her app. It's something, MyFlow app. It's a medicine period, functional medicine period tracker. And so that's what I started using just to know, you know, where I was at in my cycle. And then from there, I downloaded the Natural Cycles app and purchased the thermometer. And so I was tracking my basal body temperature. And I've done that. I've done the ovulation strips. I did even a fertility tracking bracelet, the Ava Women bracelet. So I've done it all. And when we announced our pregnancy in February of 2020, I posted two blog posts. And one was, you know, at that time I should have looked further into my PCOS diagnosis, and I'll get into that in a second. And then I also posted one about how we can see VIUI. So I was doing all these things from tracking my temperature to peeing on ovulation strips, to the fertility tracking bracelet, but I had a hormonal imbalance. So, and I didn't discover that until later. So I had been using the basal body temperature tracking for almost a year. And it got to a point where it was just stressful. So if you've ever used the Natural Cycles thermometer, you wake up and you take your temperature before getting out of bed. So sometimes I would wake up before my husband and you put the thermometer in and it beeps. And so every single morning I would wake him up with beeping, and it got to a point where it was just frustrating to both of us. I actually got so frustrated, I just threw it in the trash one day. So after a year, I didn't have a family doctor at this time. I technically had one, but I didn't enjoy going to see her. It was always stressful. It wasn't helpful. But after a year of trying and just heartbreak after heartbreak every single month, I decided to go and see her. I was also in the process of getting a new family doctor at this time. So I actually transferred while we were undergoing fertility testing. But old family doctor, started the testing process, new family doctor, looked at the results, and then referred us to a fertility clinic because I wasn't presenting with any, quote unquote, explained infertility. So, I didn't have PCOS, and I shared in my blog post that time I should have looked further because in 2016, I went off of synthetic birth control. And at that time, I was diagnosed, misdiagnosed, or undiagnosed with PCOS. I didn't present with the standard criteria. I only had multiple follicles on, or cysts on my ovaries. And I had one hormonal imbalance, but it's actually not a qualifier for PCOS. And so, I didn't have estrogen issues. I didn't have progesterone issues. I didn't have testosterone issues. So my doctor was just like, oh, you don't really have it. It's fine. But when I went to see my naturopath later on in this process, she was like, no, there's something off here. Your LH hormone is higher than your FSH at the beginning of your cycle. And this is only discovered if you have a practitioner who's willing to test your hormones throughout your cycle. So testing it, you know, early during the luteal phase, at ovulation, in the follicular phase, and then during your period. And so this is really important because this is when you can discover some hormonal imbalances that are key to either egg development, follicle development, being able to ovulate with enough time to develop a good lining in your uterus. So long and short of it is my LH was always higher than my FSH. And this was discovered after we started all of this blood testing. And I would, you know, do the blood testing with my family doctor and the fertility clinic and share the results with my naturopath. And that's when we discovered this issue. So we only got tested after a year. If you're actually over the age of 35, you can get tested, I believe, after trying for 6 months, at least in Ontario, which is where we lived at the time. And it was funny because the family doctor was like, oh yeah, because over the age of 35, you're considered, you know, a geriatric pregnancy if you're able to get pregnant. So you're much higher risk. I was just like, I'm sorry, can you stop using the words geriatric? But regardless, we started getting all the tests. It was a lot of tests. It was like 6 months of testing before we actually discovered the issue. So it was hard. It was, you know, all of these things. I wasn't talking about it. So like, it was just me and my husband going through this, and thank God he's a rock for me, because I wasn't sharing this with anyone. I wasn't talking about it, which in hindsight, I always have known that an infertility journey can be lonely, but I made it that way too, because I didn't know who to turn to. I didn't know who to talk to. And I'm a big fan of talk therapy, and I didn't even choose to book any sessions with my therapist. I was just trying to like soldier it all on my own. So fast forward ahead, another reason why we discovered the LH-FSH issue is I was doing the pee strips every single day of my cycle 1 month. And my LH was, because my LH was higher than my FSH, it was always showing up on the pee strips. And the pee strips basically tell you when you're ovulating in a quote unquote normal cycle. And so it looked like I was ovulating my entire cycle, the entire month. So we didn't, to be honest, we didn't know when to have sex. And that's when, you know, a naturopath is like, okay, we really need to take a look at this LH-FSH issue. So we had been referred to the Ottawa Fertility Clinic, and they were actually really great. We had, a great experience with them, but I had to advocate for myself. So after doing all the testing, in the summer of 2019, they had discovered something that was potentially one of the reasons why we hadn't been able to conceive naturally. And I actually had a blocked fallopian tube, or it's called a hydrosalpinx, which is a really cool word. But that could have been contributing to the explained infertility for a while. I worked really, really hard unblocking that fallopian tube. So for an entire month, I did castor oil packs that really, really helped clear it. It was one of the only different things that I had done that month. And when I went back for an ultrasound the following month, it had disappeared. So that was really exciting. So unblocked fallopian tubes, cool. Now I just have this hormonal imbalance. So when we were discussing with the fertility clinic, like what our options were, we were presented with IUI and IVF. And they said, you know, why don't we try IUI first? It's less expensive. And we'll put you on the wait list for IVF for government funding. And so that wait list is, it was like a year and a bit. So we put our names down on that list. And we start, sorry, I'm pausing because I'm recording this podcast and the babes are starting to move. So I'm going to pause right here and come back in a second. Okay. I have no idea why I said like I'm pausing here, because you're literally just going to keep listening. But this is the reality of recording a podcast as a mom of twins. My husband was still sleeping. I'm recording this early in the morning, and the babes woke up at 7. I gave them their bottles for their first feed, put them back down for their first nap of the day, and then let's finish this episode. So what I want this episode to be for you is a resource if you're thinking of having kids, or you're in the middle of a fertility journey or infertility journey, and just some resources for you. So throughout this entire time period, I had built this team around me. So I have my family doctor, I have the fertility clinic, because we had been trying for over a year and a half, and I had fertility naturopaths. So I started out with an Ottawa fertility naturopath who gave me a protocol to go on, to try to regulate my cycle naturally. Because it had already been a year and a half before I started working with her, I was already so far down this grief journey and frustration journey of feeling less than, because I wasn't able to conceive. And I was just like, I was frustrated. So when I was presented with a solution by the fertility clinic, which we'll get into another episode, specifically, you know, what's involved in an IUI procedure and resources for supporting you through one, I just took it because I just felt like I couldn't do another month of trying and getting my period, and just the disappointment and the grief that I would experience every single month. And everyone's different in terms of their journey and how they, you know, one, experience grief, frustration, have patience, have the kind of the know-how or the willingness to be like, okay, I'm going to try all of these things or do this and that. And it was everything from, you know, I gave up coffee and alcohol right after the honeymoon. So I did enjoy myself while we were traveling, but I gave, you know, coffee up after, which was really hard to detox off of, I'm not going to lie. But I'm actually really grateful because even now postpartum, our twins are 5 months old, I find myself not being as exhausted as I might be if I was still drinking coffee, even though I have sleep deprivation and I'm exhausted some days. I have a lot of energy, which I'm quite shocked about. And I do believe it's because I'm not relying on caffeine. Also, my liver has kind of just had a really, really bad go of it. And so not drinking alcohol has been really great to kind of reset that organ. And there's still lots of work that I need to do with that my poor liver. But that's another story. So some of the things that I was doing throughout this entire journey, which would be useful for you, is regular acupuncture. From a fertility standpoint and from a stress management standpoint, even just going in from, you know, saying like, I'm really stressed this month, can you help me with, you know, stress points? To depending on where I was in my cycle, having specific acupuncture points done based on that. So that was, I believe, really helpful, especially in the journey to conceive. And I'll share more exactly what I did, especially during the month of our IUI next episode. The other thing that I did was supplements. So I worked with the fertility naturopath in Ottawa, and then I actually went back to my former naturopath, who you've now heard on the show twice. So last week's episode, and I had her on the show last year, is absolutely amazing. So I went back to her the month that we started our IUI cycle because I wasn't getting the right support from the naturopath that I had hired in Ottawa. And so we rejigged my supplement plan and just made sure it was, one, conducive to being able to conceive, two, to be able to maintain a pregnancy, and then three, also managing my MS. So I have that kind of extra layer. And then stress management. One of the things that I found really, really key is I have been gifted the book. Oh, hold on. Let me see. So sleep deprivation means that you lose the ability to remember things, short-term memory. Where is it? I had been gifted the book. Here it is. Full Catastrophe Living. And it's about practicing different mindfulness and meditation techniques that I incorporated into my morning routine. And I actually stopped going to the gym as often as I had been before. And I opted for more slow things. So just slowing my body down. So meditating and reading in the morning instead of going to the gym. And then like doing a workout after work instead. Doing way more yoga. I lived at, there was a new yoga studio that opened in Barrhaven in Ottawa, Yoga Town. And I lived there for the fall that we were able to conceive. So that was really important to me. So I wanted to just kind of share those three things because I think they were really key in supporting me in my journey from infertility to fertility. All right. So next episode, I'm going to share exactly what our IUI experience was like because I get a lot of questions on how to have a successful IUI. So I'm going to share what I did to see if there are things that you can glean from it. But I will preface this that I don't believe you should ask anyone who has had a successful IUI, IVF procedure what they did because our bodies are so different and there's so many things that contribute to the ability to conceive. So I think it's great to be able to research and learn about all the different things people have done to see what's right for you. And then it's really figuring it out and then knowing who you can turn to from a resource standpoint to build, you know, a healthcare team, a stress management team. So that's our infertility journey. You know, I haven't talked about the babes a lot, but we were able to conceive in November of 2019, and I gave birth to twins in July of 2020. And if you do follow me on Instagram, you'll see all the fun posts. I share a lot of my stories, but the twins are 5 months old as I record this in January, and just an absolute joy. They are super healthy babies, super happy babies most of the time. And it's been amazing to watch their little personalities develop and just figure out who I am as a mom. I've got healthcare things that I'm figuring out in my life now postpartum and as my body heals. But it's been a crazy and amazing journey from infertility to fertility to pregnancy to motherhood. So thank you so much for supporting this podcast. If you know anyone who is in the middle of an infertility journey and these episodes might help them, please share the episode with them. That would be very much appreciated. Thanks for hanging out with me. And next episode, we will chat with, who do I have? I have fertility nutritionist Emma George. So that is next week's episode. And other than that, the episode after that, I will share our IUI story and fertility resources to just make sure this podcast is useful to you. Have an amazing rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon. Have you downloaded the Work-Life Harmony worksheet yet? In this free guide, I walk you through how to optimize 5 key areas of your life so that you can start designing your own work-life harmony. So from nutrition to supplements, sleep, stress management, and reducing your toxic load. I share tips and tricks that get you thinking on how you can optimize your life currently. So I ask you simple questions that just get you to rethink different aspects of your life. I walk you through a prioritization exercise so you can figure out which area of your life you actually want to maybe overhaul or tackle or just make small changes in first. So you can download that over at bit.ly/work-life-harmony-worksheet, all one word, bit.ly/work-life-harmony-worksheet. Thank you for listening to the Alpha Female Podcast. Be sure and visit robinbaldwin.com, that's Robin with a Y, B-A-L-D-W-I-N, for access to show notes and other amazing blogs. If you loved this episode of the Alpha Female Podcast, be sure to head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review so more amazing alpha females are able to find this content. It's so very much appreciated that you take this small effort to help this show succeed.